Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Packers back in the practice field getting themselves ready for the Minnesota Vikings, who are going to come calling this weekend. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by the Wisconsin Brewers Guild Pints for Prostates. Want a chance to meet Green Bay legend John Kuhn and support prostate cancer research? Just download the Wisconsin Tap Chaser app for details.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us. And Paul, nowhere to be seen today is Aaron Rodgers. He's with the, quote, rehab group. But concerning as well is Devontae Adams not out there. Trevor Davis going to the IR. So give me your thoughts, man.
Well, I mean, Rodgers is certainly the first and foremost one of I don't want to say concern, because I'm sure we all would have said on Sunday night after the game, we would have said Rodgers is going to probably be in the rehab group this week. So that part of it isn't surprising. You know, Rodgers, who initially said on the TV broadcast after the game when he was asked, like, on the field, like, yeah, I'm playing next week, and then he kind of backed off of that a little bit in his post-game press conference at the podium, and obviously since then, you know, he hasn't spoken publicly, and McCarthy's only kind of said it's a day-to-day thing. So, needless to say, I mean, there's a lot to talk about with Trevor Davis, and there's, you know, kind of a wait-and-see thing with Devontae Adams, like you mentioned. But this game is, I mean, what chance do the Packers really have against Minnesota if DeShone Kizer is the quarterback? So, needless to say, Rodgers' availability is paramount to this whole picture. So, not a concern, Bill, not a surprise that Rodgers is in the, you know, is in the rehab group, and like McCarthy said, they're going to give him all week to get ready. I think if you believe, and Bill, I know you've followed Pro Football Doc on Twitter. You know, the guy, I think he used to be the head athletic trainer for the Chargers, if I recall correctly. You know, he said, and he's like 99% of the time he's spot on, and he said this is probably going to be like an MCL situation where Rodgers is going to hobble for a month, and then pending something else happening, the hobble should go away in about a month, probably not impairing Rodgers' ability to play. So, will he be full 100% Rodgers? No. Do I expect him to play? Yes. But again, I think there's an argument to be made that that Rodgers can be just as good or better when he's forced to sit in the pocket and throw the ball. So the second half was about as good as a quarterback can do who's not even planting on his left leg. So, yeah, I guess we kind of wait to see where the rest of the week goes with his injury recovery.
Yeah, that's what we kind of speculated when I saw the injury actually take place. If you go front to back, they call it the swinging gait, which is a torn ACL, and you know it immediately. Yeah. Side to side is an MCL or an LCL, and you can play with it. I mean, Gary Ellerson said he snapped his and played with it and went on, never had it repaired, as a matter of fact. And so you can play with it. The soreness is there early on. You have to get through that. But after that, it's basically a brace to keep the knee stable. It does limit your mobility, though. So for a while, he's going to be more of the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady statuesque type of quarterback. Now the question becomes, can he play like that when, as Brian Billick said yesterday, the front four of the Minnesota Vikings looks like the team picture coming at you?
Yeah, I mean, the difference here is that Chicago came into the game planning for Aaron Rodgers to be full mobility Aaron Rodgers. And then when Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin essentially had to change the playbook at halftime, first off, they didn't even know for sure that Rodgers was coming back. You know, McCarthy had commented that it wasn't until, and he went into that third quarter thinking it was going to be DeShone Kizer, and then not until Rodgers kind of jogged back out and you know, Dr. McKenzie had kind of said, yeah, he's cleared to go, did he even plan on having Rodgers? But clearly it was a different playbook. Clearly it was a different approach. And the difference between what Chicago didn't have that Minnesota will have is the opportunity to prepare for that and game plan for that and watch the second half tape and see how the Packers use Rodgers and try to exploit it, right? And that's fair to say. Now, Chicago's defense isn't what Minnesota's is, but they're still both very – I mean, Chicago, I think, proved, especially in the first half, what they can be and probably in the near future will be capable of defensively. But Minnesota is, defensively speaking, scary. They are going to be for every team this year, a threat to deal with. And when you do have an immobile quarterback who's having to adjust and having to do things differently, and who's going to probably, Bill, only going to be able to play out of the shotgun or out of the pistol, it changes the way you do things. So, you know, Mike McCarthy, I'm sure this whole week is game planning for Rod, unless he knows something that no one else knows yet, game planning for Rodgers to play, but to play with limited mobility, and that's going to mean probably very little to no under-center packages, you know, for Rodgers. So that's certainly an adjustment, not just for the Packers offense, but for Minnesota to game plan for defensively.
My assumption is you're going to see some no huddle as well, if not a lot of no huddle. I think you're going to see a lot of quick hits, a lot of Aaron Rodgers making reads, trying to eliminate the packages that that Zimmer can throw at him. Just my assumption, but I think that's the way you're going to probably see a lot of this early on in this ball game, just to see if they can get themselves into a rhythm.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this isn't just a situation of Minnesota's defense personnel-wise being really good. This is Mike Zimmer, you know, and Mike Zimmer is so good at what he does, and it's always a fun battle. When I think, I'm not sure, Bill, there's anybody in the league I'd rather have running my defense than Mike Zimmer, and I'm not sure there's any quarterback you'd rather have running your offense than Aaron Rodgers, so it's always a fun showdown between those two, and it is a matter of what the offense can be with Rodgers in this way. Now, the only thing that I think is encouraging is, yeah, the Davante Adams touchdown was kind of something shorter. The Randall Cobb touchdown on Sunday night was certainly 90% was yak, you know, yards after catch, attributed to, you know, to Randall Cobb and his ability to kind of play in the open field. But the one to Geronimo Allison, if there's anything, that was, what, a 40-yard pass that sent about 55 yards in the air
right. Without
really being able to use his left leg. If there's something to say, it's just going to be short passes and this and that, the Packers found out and Minnesota's defense found out that this isn't going to limit the ability to throw downfield, as the Geronimo Allison touchdown very clearly illustrated. That pass not only, of course, traveled the distance that it did, but was dropped right into the basket for Geronimo Allison. You couldn't throw a better ball. I don't think you could throw a better pass than what Rodgers did on that. So it's going to limit the playbook. It's going to change the way the Packers approach it, but I don't think it's going to limit any downfield action. And if that play is any reason to kind of speculate into what we might see on Sunday afternoon.
In addition to that, and now defensively speaking, we saw what Mike Pettine was able to do in the second half of that ball game. Changed up some personnel, went a lot of nickel, moved those defensive backs around a lot. I thought the defensive backs, the young group of defensive backs, played pretty well. I saw Tremont Williams came up big in a couple of different instances. I'm encouraged. I don't know how encouraged I'm going to be after this week. But, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, the secondary, they can only do so much if the linebackers in that front four or front three, depending on how you're looking at it, doesn't get to the quarterback and doesn't get to Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is nowhere near as good a quarterback as many, and he thinks he is. So I would assume he can throw you one or two maybe, but they've got to put pressure on Kirk Cousins and frustrate him. We've seen him, you know, play well against the Packers in the past, so I would expect nothing less, but they are going to have to come. They're going to have to be a factor in this ball game for them to win.
Well, let's start with this. I think Clay Matthews needs to use the game film from this past Sunday as motivation. And I'm not just referring, of course, to the dumb penalty on fourth down that gave the Bears an extra chance to keep that game alive. Whether you want to use your own eye test, whether you want to use Pro Football Focus, that was one of, if not the worst performance, not only of Clay Matthews' career, which has been a very, very good career, all things considered, but one of, if not the worst performance of any edge rusher in week one, period, across the league. It was something to forget. And if you're Clay Matthews, something to improve on and learn from and get better with. And I'm sure he knows that. And I'm sure it's motivation to see if he can bounce back and provide more pressure. Because when there was pressure in the second half, of course, it made the secondary look better. And I think if there's anything to be really encouraged by, aside from QB, there's probably not a more difficult position to come in day one in the NFL and be really good than corner. And both Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson got great grades across the board. They got complimented publicly by Mike McCarthy. The Pro Football Focus grades were off the charts for both guys. And they were both asked to play 75% of the plus of the snaps. And that's while playing next to a second-year guy in Kevin King, who had a good game, not quite to the level of Alexander and Jackson, but good enough. And you mentioned Tremont Williams. So, yeah, the secondary is sort of a secondary piece of a pass rush. If the pass rush is giving the quarterback 3.5-4 seconds, you know, you can't expect most guys to cover for that long. But I think, for one, you should be encouraged a lot. Any Packers fan should, but by what the young cornerback group, and I get Tremont Williams is 35, but they're asking a bunch of young guys, especially Alexander, Jackson, and Kevin King, to do a lot. And they all all stepped up big in week one. Now it's a matter of getting the pass rush going, having Clay Matthews be a positive factor, not a negative impact, and Nick Perry to do something. And again, I think there's still more to find out. Someone who probably hasn't been mentioned enough from Sunday night was Kenny Clark, who is turning into a dominant player. And by the way, is playing the most snaps of any defensive lineman on the Packers. I don't know if you went back and looked at the snap chart.
No, I didn't.
In terms of Kenny Clark was on the field like 80% of the time, whereas Mike Daniels only like 40%, and Mo Wilkerson only like 45 to 50%. So this is, I mean, that has become, as much as Mike Daniels is the $10 million per year guy, as much as Mo Wilkerson was a big offseason pickup, let's not understate the importance and the talent of a guy in Kenny Clark who's only 23 and is being given the responsibility by Mike Pettine to be a darn near every snap guy on that defensive line and playing well and keeping his energy up the whole time.
One more thing, Paul, before I let you go, and that is, so how are you what would you try to take away from the Minnesota Vikings? They got weaponry, and we know that obviously Dalvin Cook, the running back, came back and looked solid. We know they've got a good tight end, a couple of good wideouts. Their offensive line was fortified. If you're going to try to start at taking something away from what Kirk Cousins can do, what would that be?
Yeah, Bill, it's a good question. I have to go back and probably watch the Vikings game again. I kind of saw sporadic pieces of it this past Sunday against San Francisco. But I think this is a situation where Dalvin Cook, yes, he's coming back from ACL and everything, but he is such a weapon. And I think if you can turn Minnesota to be one-dimensional, of course this is true for most teams, right? This isn't like a shocking surprise. But if you want to have somebody beat you, I don't know. Bill, I'm with you. You said something earlier about Kirk Cousins not, in your opinion, Kirk Cousins not being as good as what some people do and not as good as what Cousins himself thinks he is. I'm with you. I mean, I think he's the 12th, 15th-ish best quarterback in the league, right? Like, he's middle of the road. He's good. I mean, you can do a lot worse than Kirk Cousins, a quarterback, but you can also do a lot better. And I think it's going to be something where if you want to minimize what Minnesota's offense is able to do, shut down Dalvin Cook, much easier said than done, and see if Diggs and Thielen and coming off the arm of Kirk Cousins can beat you. And again, this is we can talk about two totally different games. The game where Rodgers is playing, and I think we found out Sunday night that offense still might be capable, even against a really good Minnesota defense. The Packers still might be very well capable of putting up 25-plus points. And then so if you're kind of looking at that defensively, if you're Mike Pettine saying, okay, so how many points do we have to keep off the board realistically to maybe win this game? I'd rather have Kirk Cousins beat me than have the running game beat me. So try to shut down the run and see if Cousins is capable of doing that.
Good stuff as always. We will chat again soon, okay?
All right, Bill. Thanks
Paul. Talk to you. There you go. That's Paul Emig joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.